I'm going to start off with a joke that might be familiar, only because my dad actually told it not too long ago. He loved to start his messages with jokes, and I think he spoke on this subject, so it's a little interesting, but you know, my dad said it, so I like it too. It goes, "Once I saw this guy on a bridge about to jump. I said, 'Don't do it.' He said, 'Nobody loves me.' I said, 'God loves you. Do you believe in God?' He said, 'Yes.' I said, 'Are you a Christian or are you a Jew?' He said, 'A Christian.' I said, 'Me too. Protestant or Catholic?' He said, 'Protestant.' I said, 'Me too. What franchise?' He said, 'Baptist.' I said, 'Me too. Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist?' He said, 'Northern Baptist.' I said, 'Me too. Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist?' He said, 'Northern Conservative Baptist.' I said, 'Me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region or Northern Conservative Baptist Eastern region?' He said, 'Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region.' I said, 'Me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1879 or Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912? He said, "Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. I said, "Die, heretic," and I pushed him over. Again, that was, I know he liked that joke, and now I like it too. But it's amazing. It's easy to not have peace with people, to not share the same mind as them. Classifying separation is naturally within us. It's also why we have these unspoken rules at work. What do people generally avoid talking about when they're at their job? Politics, religion. I'm on a lot of Microsoft Teams calls throughout the week. I work from home, which is a blessing, but this means I'm in a lot of different meetings online. And some of these meetings, especially if it's meeting with people for the first time, and I'm sure all of you can relate to this, we try to establish peace. You try to establish a shared experience, a common ground. So what are usually the first topics? You know these things. Your name, your title, the weather in your area. I can't tell you how many times I've heard, "So how's the weather in your area? How's your summer going?" It's way up on the common ground pole. It's not very deep. I guess that's why we call it small talk, right? Sometimes I hear from people from Ohio. I'm from Ohio. I grew up in Columbus, Ohio. And that, you know, when you kind of get that level of familiarity, it piques your interest. You go, "Oh, what part of Ohio?" That joke is pretty unrealistic conversation, but you know, some conversations when you meet people for the first time, sometimes they can go like this. You talk about the weather. Oh, then you figure out, "Oh, we went to the same college. That's interesting. Oh, we both love the same sports. Oh, they have kids. They're close to their family too. Oh, they're very involved in their church community," you know? So it's just layer after layer after layer. You continually get down to what matters. Or, of course, it can go the opposite way. I'm sure we've met people, and I've probably done this too. You make some type of remark, whether that's on the deeper level of things, maybe too early, right? And that can either establish greater common ground early or immediately halt you from becoming closer because, oh, they are that way now. I don't know if I want to get closer to that. I've been considering how to be of the same mind, because we are expected to be like-minded people. Us in this room, we're supposed to be like-minded and people that share the same mind. One of my colleagues continually says, I don't know if you've heard this phrase too, but when he's meeting with people, he's trying to find mind share, which is, I thought that was really interesting. I hadn't heard that before. And really it's just, you know, finding common ground with people, saying, "I need to find mind share with those group of people so we can get on the same page. First, let's discuss why God desires a deeper set of qualities that are shared amongst people and what that means. Then I want to share three enemies of like-mindedness. I was reading through Romans, then Corinthians, where this just popped out at me at first. So if you will, please turn with me to Romans 15. Romans 15, and we will look at verses 5 and 6. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should be thinking in the same good way when it comes to God and Jesus. We should also be praising him in that manner too, right? Just a few minutes ago, we didn't just stand up for hymns and Tim didn't say, okay, praise the way you feel, right? Some would maybe dance, some may sing, some may paint. It would be chaotic, right? And it wouldn't also be as powerful as all of us doing the same thing at once. 1 Corinthians, if you will, 1 Corinthians, starting verse 1 Corinthians 1, let's look at verse 10. That might just be a one page over for you. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Being like-minded, being of the same mind, prevents division. It prevents future division. So you can think about it. When you're dating, and or let's say somebody's dating and she wants a family of five. She is staunch on that, right? But the guy doesn't want kids at all, at all. In the future, is that going to lead to good things? Or maybe is that going to lead to division? Because that's one of the deeper levels of common ground. It's not just having common ground on your favorite sports team, right? That's the higher level stuff. But on the core things of life, we in this room obviously need to have the same mind on who God and Jesus are, what they are doing, his plan for all of humanity, our hope in this world, and a big one is our love for one another. When we share so much of the top level of common ground and also like the deeper items, we are one. And as one, we can get more of his work done. Let's turn to one more scripture here. Philippians 2. Philippians 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That mindset is the mindset of Jesus Christ. And it just doesn't naturally come to us. We need to pray for it. Why do you think that Jesus earnestly prayed in John 17 for us to be one eventually in the future? It's because it's hard. It's so much easier, like that joke in the beginning, it's so much easier to find that one little thing and then division. So what are the enemies of like-mindedness? I wrote down three. I'm sure there's a lot. But number one, isolation. On a weekly basis, we come here to reconnect. I think of it kind of like many lines. All of us are just many lines. And when we leave this building today, within 6 days, some of us, we veer a little bit off. And then on the seventh, we come back and we course correct and we come back in that straight line. But what happens when we don't come back? This is why we need the 7 day Sabbath. We need those annual reminders of God's festivals, because God knows we would be all over the place without these reminders. But what happens when we don't come back? Like COVID. COVID isolation did a number on like-mindedness. Our own ideas seem pretty clever when we're on our own. And people are so much easier to criticize over a phone screen than in person. When there's distance between you, that's why there's so much road rage, right? You wouldn't dare to, some people, I'm not saying you, but people wouldn't dare to say or do the things that they do on the road at the grocery line, right? It's because there's distance, there's isolation. And we can even isolate ourselves while being here physically at church, not engaging, interacting, or not even trying to go into the deeper levels of like-mindedness. Number two, pride. This is a quote from C.S. Lewis. "There is no fault which makes a man more unpopular, and no fault which we are more unconscious of in ourselves." Speaking of pride, I love that quote because it's so true. Pride lifts one higher than the group, knowing you are right. Not even knowing that God is right, it's knowing that you are right. And again, it's so hard to identify, to self-identify pride. But remember the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. One was looking to another for comparison, and the other was looking to God. Comparing ourselves to one another will kill like-mindedness, right? But all of us, to God, are truly nothing. We're truly dust. And that's our common ground. We should have that humility that we are really not all that. That mind of humility, that was within Jesus Christ. And number three, indifference. Indifference. It takes work to get to those deeper levels of like-mindedness. Just beyond knowing somebody who has the same favorite baseball team as you do. In marriage, in friendship, not trying is a killer. You know, for some of us, it takes a little bit more effort than others. There's a lot of people that just, they walk around and they just radiate and they can find common ground and they're very peaceable people. And I've met a lot of good people that are, they're so good at getting to deeper levels of common ground. Women do seem to be better at this than men. A man can work with someone for 25 years and not know a surprising amount about that person. I struggle with that. Rachel asked me a lot of questions about people, and my candid answer is, I don't know. It's because sometimes I just don't ask. Are we indifferent to the relationships that we have within our congregation, with the people that we have in this room? And this point also comes with a challenge. It's not just this week, but also in the weeks following. And so most of you do this naturally week to week, but I challenge us to go deeper with the people in this room, to connect and have some of that mind share beyond, hey, how are you doing? How's your job? Get deeper with levels, some spiritual levels. You know, what's on your mind spiritually this week? You know, what are you reading in the Bible? Ask caring questions, not just indifferent ones. And that's something I definitely could do a lot better job at. The enemies of like-mindedness, isolation, pride, indifference. Paul's words were not just to the general public. They were to us in this room. He was speaking to the people of God, the church. We are to have the same mind the mind that was also in Jesus Christ.